Amen to that. Can I get an amen on that? Speak, O Lord, till your church is filled and the earth is filled with your glory. That's what it's all about. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians 2 that we were looking at earlier as was read in the service, and verses 14 to 17. And I'm going to read this text again. It's just a few verses. I think the text is so inspiring and helps us as we are engaging in the thought process of what is missions and how are we to be engaging it and why of missions. And so let me just read that and then we'll jump in this morning. It says in verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ." Let's pray together. Father, this morning, as we get a chance now to look into your word and to ponder over what you have declared for us as it relates to this aspect of gospel furthering ministry and discipleship ministry and the use of the gospel. And so, God, I pray that you would challenge us this morning, help us to gain a better understanding, but beyond a better understanding, God, as well, would you just challenge our hearts in the engagement of it? And so, thank you for this time together, and thank you for this opportunity, this missions conference, to hear from different ministries and to hear their heartbeat about how they wrestled with and developed and grew into where you have them here today. Lord, there's some here today that may be pondering that through personally. There may be some here today that are pondering other spiritual relationship aspects with you or things in their lives. Father, I pray that your Spirit would do the work that only he can do, that he would do the work of convicting and equipping and teaching us, Lord, that we would walk away from here what you would want us to be and change for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, I want you can pull out of your bulletin. There is some notes to follow along with that. And as you do that, I recognize that probably a lot of you are saying, man, that's a lot of notes today. And so I want us to do one thing and just get it out of the way. It'll help me. If you could all do this, just take your watch and look at it one time. Okay, so we've gotten that out of the way. I'm aware of the time. I've got an iPad right here that's built in. It's just a clock and that's there. So I know the time, and I want to assure you that even though you have a page of notes in front of you, that is going to help us over the next couple weeks. That's not just for today. We're engaging in a thought process regarding missions, and it's going to be a few weeks for us to cover through that. So hang on to those. But again, what we want to do then during this missions conference month and in our time together is not only just to inform, but to engage us to think deeply about missions, the status of missions in the evangelical Christianity, our church, and in our own lives. And so let me begin with what is the very first article in our church's constitution that sets the tone and the direction for who we are as a church. And we honestly, in our meetings, we engaged over this and really spent a lot of time working over this. But in our churches, you're right, that is a very, oh, he's gone. Travis is down with the kids. That is a very touchy thing there. But this is our mission statement as a church, is this: First Baptist Church exists for the purpose of bringing glory to God. Now, I was thinking about that. There should be a full stop right there. There should be a period in that statement. And so that is what we're here for. We want to bring glory to God in whatever way, because our life is his. And so how can we do that, God? But we then define out, because we're taking biblical principles here and how God has called the church to do that, by making disciples of Christ. So we're going to evangelize the lost, bring people to Christ, and then equip the church in unity to be like Christ. And so there's our statement. And You know, so we know what we're to be doing. Making disciples, evangelizing the lost, bringing them into the church and growing them together and discipling them, that we all grow in the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. Right? Ephesians 4, Matthew 28, we could support that in a variety of ways. And so I want to build on that because, and what I want to challenge us is in our asking is, are we still on focus with it? I was in some meetings this week. I was in a meeting with a marketing and branding firm regarding a foster care ministry that I'm involved with, and as that's expanding out to other counties, we were considering, are we on the right focus and task of this? And thinking that through. And a statement that was made in that session with this marketing firm, it was this that caught my attention. They said it's very easy for companies and ministries to drift and be so off focus that they don't even know what they are doing and who they are anymore. You've probably seen that happen with companies. That their direction has changed over the course of the years, that no longer they even know what they stand for. But we can see that happen in ministries oftentimes. And I think it's important for us to go back to our mission statement to say, what is it that we are focused on and that we're going to pursue as doing? And it's not that overly complicated. And Paul is so steely-eyed and focused as he knows exactly what he is called to do and as a Christian. And so let me just take a few moments and pick out just some thoughts out of this text. And then we're going to engage in some questions that relate to missions that extend beyond this as well. And so let's look at this because I love the way Paul is dealing with this. And the question I want to ask ourselves is our church still being an effective fragrance of the knowledge of Christ in every place? And am I being an effective fragrance for the knowledge of Christ in every place? Are you in your workplace and in your school or wherever God has you, are you being what God has called us to be there in that way? And so a couple things, let's just kind of walk through and pull out some interesting thoughts here. He says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Now, stop there for a moment. Notice that the direction or the way in which we approach and do ministry forward, it is from victory, from triumph in Christ. God is leading us to do what he's called us to do, but it's not a defeated purpose. It's a victorious and triumphant purpose and task that he's given us to do. And so we don't go out to evangelize the lost and baptize and bring people in the church and disciple them up saying, man, this is just, we're losing. We are moving forward, and this is coming from a stance of victory. And then he so beautifully says, and through us. Notice that. God's taking his march forward of the gospel. As God's going to build his church, and he's going to grow that and bring you to Christ and grow his kingdom. He's doing that through us, he says. And through us, he says, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Isn't that a neat way to say that? Paul is so eloquent in that. Through us, he diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Like God just says, I want to use you as the vessel to just blast that out. To shoot out that smell and the aroma of God all over the place. We are perfume bottles to spritz that out. The word fragrance, it's the same word that was first used in John 12 and verse 3 when Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and then wiped his feet with her hair. And it said the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. The idea there is that aroma was felt and smelt everywhere in that vicinity to which Mary was without oil. Well, that gives an idea of what we are to be as we are to diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Now, some of you are into different types of things. You might be into essential oils. or different types of perfumes and fragrant perfumes and body sprays. And I brought one as an illustration just to ponder. My wife uses this one, and I like it a lot. So it's one of them ones that makes you, like, when your wife puts it on, you're like, come give me a kiss. Like, I just want to get in close. So I'm going to spray this, and hopefully it doesn't get me off focus today. We'll see how this goes. But the idea there is we are to be going out into our workplace, into our schools, into our neighborhoods, around our family and friends, and spraying that out. And, yeah. That is good stuff. I don't even know what, I can't do any more of that. We are to be fragrancing the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So people are like, I know the gospel, and I sense the love of Christ that comes out from you because you talk about Jesus Christ. You the fragrance of his knowledge, it goes wherever you go. You're just spritzing it. Wherever you go, you're talking about Jesus Christ, and your conversation gets around that because that's what we're called to be. That's what we're called to do. Now, a lot could be drawn out as well from this text as it goes in that through us he's diffusing that. Through us he's expending that. For we are, and notice where the fragrance first reaches. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ. As we go out, you know who first smells it and takes delight in it? It's God. God is like, man, I smell my people being and representing me and telling me about Jesus Christ and discipling the lost, and that is a sweet aroma to me. God loves it when his church and his people do that and tell people about Christ. It is to God, and so it brings him glory and pleasure. And notice it's also in every place. No matter where we are, but also where we partner. And so we get a chance in our missions to think about the partnership of ministries going out to different places, into the Carolinas, to churches down there that are trying to do the ministry and the task down there. Baptist Mid-Missions, as they send people out all over the world, and as Travis and Becky and their family goes and travels and speaks at churches and represents, and as they were in Romania, and we've got missionaries all over different places, we want to see in every place the knowledge of Christ go forward. And so we could pull that out, and we could dissect that for a while, and then how that isn't, you know, the Lord is the Lord of the harvest. As we spritz that out, it isn't necessarily on us to change and make everybody. We can't force people to come to Christ. To some, that is an aroma of life, and to some, it's aroma of death. He says, and who's sufficient for these things? He says, we're not going out peddling the gospel. This isn't a sales pitch. This isn't like we have to try to sell people on this. This is coming out, but as from God, in sincerity. There is a compassion that this is real in our lives. It's real to us what God has done for us, and we take that forward, and then and we speak in the sight of God in Christ. Some wonderful thoughts, and I wanted to kind of set our frame there for a few moments there, kind of with our focus and our direction, and I want to now kind of build out from here. We're kind of setting some platform, some place markers on missions. And I want us to engage just for a moment on, well, what is the mission? How do we define it? And I'm going to spend just a short amount of time on that because I don't think that we have a lack of knowledge on the command, our great commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. If I were to ask people, what is the commission? What is the mission? As even was brought up here, Matthew 28. We could probably all understand that and quote that out and say, yes, we're to go make disciples of all nations. We're to baptize them, bring them in the church, and grow them and teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. They'd probably quote Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then recognize in Acts 1, verse 8, that is in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And I think we could spend a couple weeks on sermons on driving, nailing down even deeper on what our Great Commission is. But my expectation isn't that we are sending, in the church evangelical Christianity, that we are sending less missionaries and we are sacrificing less and giving less to missions in the evangelical community than ever before. It isn't because we don't know what our commission is. I think we're asking, what is our motivation? Why aren't we doing that? And so I want to spend a little more time on that. What is the motivation for us to do that? What's our motivation for us to be the fragrance of Christ in every place? And so our time is limited. I want to try to, for the time that we have today, just a few moments, I'm going to nail down, first of all, what is fragrant missions, just briefly. And because I think it's important, even as we're saying, I don't need to nail down or drive down deeply on Matthew 28 and our Great Commission, but I do think we need to identify some things that missions is not and some things that missions is. So as we know what our focus is, doing missions that is biblical, and then we'll ask, are we doing that? You know, how can we do that better? And so, first of all, let's look at the first question. What is fragrant missions? And so, again, I think to help us with that, as I think it was Travis that brought this text to bear, why don't we turn to Matthew 28. Here is Jesus, after he's risen from the grave. His disciples are excited about seeing him resurrected, and they meet him in the Galilee region up on the mountain, and he comes to them and says, and we're probably very familiar with the text, in verses 18 to 20, he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, or the Son, or the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." So, if I were to have you on the platform today, and in that Q&A, and ask you, what is missions? What would your response be? How would we define missions? How would we define, and maybe we're, when we think of missions, we're thinking in an outgoing to another country type of aspect. How would we think of what our mission is as a church? How would we define that? Well, let me give you a couple definitions of missions that have been put out there. One I came across was Encyclopedia Britannica that said, "Christian missions is an organized effort for the propagation of the Christian faith." Okay, that's kind of getting us started. Another article that I was reading from a missions agency, it was actually ABWE, had an article that I was reading. It said, "Missions is the task of proclaiming the gospel to every people group that has not yet heard it in order to establish churches. Churches that will carry on mission by reaching their culture, teaching others, and sending missionaries out." I like that. I think we're getting a great focus there. Another one that I have enjoyed, I was reading on my sabbatical a book by Andy Johnson on missions, and the title is really hard to grasp. The title is Missions. And it so well puts, as he kind of gives this primer on what missions is. And he states this. He says the church's mission is to display the glory of God by declaring the gospel to all peoples, by gathering churches in every place, and by filling them with disciples who obey God and will praise him forever for his grace. That sounds very similar to our mission statement. The purpose is for the glory of God. Make disciples, bring them to church, and bring them into that and grow them for the glory of God in that. Well, with all of those thoughts in mind, let me just put a couple markers, five markers here quickly to identify missions. And so first of all, we need to recognize that the mission given by Christ is spiritual. The mission given by Christ is a spiritual ministry. Now, what I am helping by that is it helps us determine some things that missions is not. The focus of everything that we are doing in missions is to evangelize, baptize, and grow and disciple the lost. Now, that doesn't discount that will involve physical means. That doesn't discount that at times that might be, as we've done, we've gone and done medical missions trips, and we saw thousands come through our medical facility, but so that every single person that came to that medical facility heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were personally sat down with, and someone in their native language shared the gospel, and hundreds end up coming to Christ and were then followed up with by a local church, and the church grew. The purpose of it was, yeah, we're going to do some physical things, but the purpose is spiritual. Because here's the thing. You can provide good, safe drinking water. You can help someone in their economic depravity or whatever there's going on in their life. But if they don't hear and learn how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that soul has the same destiny as it did before you engaged with them. And so our ministry that Christ sends us out to do is we've got to get to the gospel. It's a spiritual ministry. Second place marker to help us here is the mission is local church centered. It's local church centered. It's a local church that recognizes who is a disciple of Christ and baptizes them and brings them into membership. It's a local church where more discipleship and teaching naturally takes place, where God has given pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. And there is a natural one-anotherness that Ephesians 4 highlights greatly that is there. In addition, missionaries are sent out then from local churches. As we see, Paul and Silas were commissioned by the local church to go do what God had put upon them to do. And so this ministry that we are called, our mission is local church centered. Thirdly, the mission is evangelism and discipleship. A lot of times we hear missions and we only think, go share the gospel. What we've got to recognize is that Jesus didn't stop in Matthew 28 with go make disciples of all nations. It continues on, baptizing them, bringing them into the family as they identify publicly in that way, and then disciple them, teach them to observe all things, teach them how to have a walk with God, teach them what it's like to have a relationship with God, how to pray, and what does God's word say to you as he continues to lead and to guide. And so the ministry of missions is multifaceted in that way. Fourthly, is the mission is by Christ's authority and presence. All authority has been given to me, to go, and lo, I am with you always, even the end of the age. And so he sandwiches as he closes us all in around, hey, I'm sending you out by my strength, and I'm sending you out with my presence. He says in Acts 1, he says, I'm going to send you out with my spirit, that you have power to do these things. This isn't you just trying to come up with new creative ways to try to do this. It isn't just trying to figure out what's the latest trends in this. It's empowered and led by him and his presence. And then fifthly, I think we need to recognize this as well. The mission is both local. Oh, I already skipped it. The mission is both local and abroad. I think all the nations declares that. And in fact, the word mission, the Latin word for this is missio, and it literally means to send. To send. And so part of it's going to involve doing and being on missions. We are sent out even into our neighborhoods and workplaces, but then also to send some to other places, to all the nations. You know what's interesting, though? As we think about it, if I were to ask you, who was the first missionary? Who was the first missionary of the church? Who would you say? Jesus. A lot of times people say Paul and Silas, but it's Jesus. In fact, we know the great text in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But notice the next verse. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. In fact, in John 17, as Jesus is praying, as he's preparing to go to the cross and then leave his apostles to take the ministry and go forward, he talks about being sent, and he says in John 17:18, as you, Father, sent me into the world, so I also have sent them into the world. That sending out, it's to go out. And so As David Livingston even said, he said, God had one son and he was a missionary. That aspect of being sent, and that involves both local and involves abroad. And so we're each sent in that way. Some cross-culturally, some in other areas of school or job or wherever God has us. And I think this is what's important. I think it's important that we all think on that vein. As we pray about and seek, God, where do you want me to work? God, where do you want me to get a house and live so that there's neighbors around me? God, where do you want me to go to school or whatever it might be? The thinking in there is, God, where do you want to place me that I can be used for you? And seeing every place I'm fragrancing Jesus Christ. I'm expelling that. I'm diffusing that fragrance. And so seeing every decision of life is filtered through a lens of how can I diffuse the knowledge of Jesus Christ in this place? I think we need to make more decisions less on economics and more on theology and missions. But God, where do you want to put us? God, do you want to have us buy a house? What ministry can I have around the neighbors that you might place us? So God, would you guide even this house process for your glory? God, as you want to give us a job, and I'm looking at where to work right now and those type of things, God, would you place me where you want me so that I can be used best for you, fragrancing the knowledge of you wherever I'm at? That ought to be in our minds as we go forward. I'm gonna preface our next point. Unfortunately, this is where I was hoping to really drive home, but we're out of time today. As you all look at your watches again, so the question then is, what motivates fragrant missions? Again, I don't think that what we lack is a knowledge of the Great Commission. I don't think that. I bet you, if you've been in church for any length of time, if you've been in my church, because I've preached it, you've heard a message on Matthew 28. You've heard a message on Acts 1. You've heard me preach on Mark 16. I've hit all of those. So it isn't that we don't know what our commission is, and I think that's happening in churches all around in evangelical Christianity. So why is it that we are seeing less being sent out as missionaries? Why is it that we are seeing less given for the cause of missions financially than ever before in the history of America? Now that sounds negative, right? And I get that, and I don't want this to all to be negative. The question I'm going to turn that and say is, what motivates it then? I had someone just last week, we were having a dialogue, and they were really highlighting what I'm saying right now. They're saying, so we know what this is. Why don't we do it? Why aren't we doing it? And so what motivates us to go reach our world? And I think there's one thing that motivates it. There's one base, and I'm going to use an analogy of a tree. There's one tree that's motivating that. And off of that, I think, are two trunks. But the tree is love. And the two trunks with branches that come off that we're going to explore is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's going to be the motivations. And out of that's going to come recognizing what the gospel means and how we've been receptors of the gospel. Out of that's going to come for the amazing aspect of who is our God. And we're going to see the love for the Lord our God in all those aspects. And what does that mean to love our neighbor as ourself? That we become less self-absorbed. We kind of come in our American culture, we become very self-absorbed. And we're also fearful of what people might say. I might be labeled as hate speech. I might be labeled as someone who's unkind and unloving. And so we temper it back a lot. So what's going to motivate us to love the Lord our God and have that expel into missions? And what's going to motivate us to love our neighbor as ourselves? That's what I want to dive into. And so next week, Lord willing, we're going to start exploring those motivations. What's on that trunk that comes off in loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength? Why do we? What will motivate us to love God so deeply that we'd say, God, here I am. How do you want to use me? As I quoted from David Livingston earlier, don't call that sacrifice, call it a privilege. What motivates a mindset like that? We're going to look at that next time, and then also what motivates us in the trunk of loving our neighbor as ourself. And so I'm looking forward to continuing this continual dialogue in our hearts and our minds on missions and what God has called us to do. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father, we are thankful that you have allowed us, that you choose to go through us to diffuse the fragrance of your knowledge in all places. Father, I pray that you would help us then with that. Now, help us to really self-examine as a church, as a believer, to say, God, why and how am I doing with this? Lord, as we jump into the next time as well, the motivations for that, God, I pray that you would challenge us, that we would understand why, that we would ponder deeply who you are and why we love you, that causes us to go do what you called us to do, and why that's not a chore and why that's not a drudgery, but it's a delight. So God, I pray that you'd bring us back the next time to continue in this thinking and dialoguing, and help us as we go into our workplaces and wherever we're at today and this week to think being a fragrance for you, to think, how can you use me here? God, I want to thank you that you have placed your church in all different environments by placing men and women in workplaces, in school systems, in neighborhoods, in certain families, so that your name might go forward and that you might get glory. So God, I pray that you'd help us to keep that focus. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.